Welcome to the message of today's service. It is nice to see the smiling faces out here. Oh, more faces smiled all at once. It's awesome. As we begin this message, let's go to our Lord and Savior first. Most gracious, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for loving us, for doing everything to draw us to you. And God, we ask that we can commune with you in this service, that we can connect, that the words that are spoken are yours, and that we could hear individually what you have for us. And God, I just give this entire message to you. It's yours anyway. Use us as you see fit. In Christ's name, amen. Made extraordinarily. Kind of think about extraordinary. That is something that is way beyond what we're used to thinking or seeing. Today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and this is the first Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany was last Thursday. That began the season on the Christian calendar. And I'm sure all of you thought of that on Thursday, that this was the beginning of the Epiphany season. And as we think about that, okay, we're in a few weeks of Epiphany leading up to the Easter season. But the name Epiphany comes from the Greek epiphaneia, meaning appearance or manifestation, and refers to the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the world. So we're in a season that we went through Advent and Christmas, and now we're in a time on the calendar of the manifestation or the appearing of Jesus Christ to the world. I'm going to give you four scriptures that refer to this baptism of the Lord Sunday, and if these are ones that you can take and look at this week at home if you choose. Psalms 29, verses 1 through 11, describe the power of the Lord's voice over the forces of the natural world. Carol read this one from Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. It tells the story of God's voice gathering the family of Israel to bring them home. The third one is from Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. It tells of the spirit world and word of God crossing old divisions between people. And these are just highlights. If you take and go through these, you will get a lot more information than just these cliff notes. And Luke 3, verses 15 through 17, and verses 21 through 22. Speaks to the climax of the story. God is speaking at Jesus' baptism. And that's the section or the text that we will be using today. Beginning in Luke 3, verses 15 through 17, in the English Standard Version. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And then verse 3, 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Have you ever been so committed to a cause or a relationship that you felt nothing could stop you. Maybe someone told you that you couldn't do something. Well, you set out to prove them different. I had an instructor in college, Dr. Lynn Torrance, and he was quite the gentleman. He actually survived the Bataan Death March, so kind of speaks of the grittiness of this man. But he said when he first came to school, his instructor told him, "You don't belong in college, you belong behind a plow and a mule." Needless to say, that was a challenge, and he proved this instructor wrong. Today, we couldn't get away with saying something like that. You would be in a lot of trouble. But think about a subject or a project, maybe your spouse, dating. You were intentional about, this is the one for me, and you did everything possible to achieve that goal. But that is a commitment to a cause. You are consumed with a purpose. You have set aside. There is a reason for what you do. John the Baptist was consumed with a purpose. He was focused on what he was doing. We will look at three vocations or calling or life choices. John's calling, vocation, or a life choice. From verse 16, we hear John, "But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." John is referring to the work of slaves, and not just the work of slaves. He's talking about the lowest of the lowest slave, because the lowest slave on a hierarchical standard is the slave that washed feet, that undid the sandals and cleaned feet. And John is saying, that person is better than me. I am beneath him. In effect, John is saying he isn't worthy to do this. Jesus was too much better than him. Those who were coming to John to be baptized were met with John saying, "I'm not your guy." Can you imagine you're going to the Jordan? There's a crowd and you're a part of there. You're there for John to baptize you. And you know that what he's doing is spot on. This is it. You are following him. And John is saying, I'm not your guy. I'm not even good enough to take the sandals off of someone's feet. John embodied everything they'd come to expect about God moving. And they had the Old Testament. That's what they had studied. They understood. He ate and dressed and talked like Elijah. Well, they knew that someone like Elijah would come before the Messiah. So this has to be the Messiah coming right here. The prophet hero of their culture. That's who they looked to. And he said, "It's not me, folks." That would kind of leave you a little bit in question. This meant that the new movement of God wasn't going to look like the old movement. So what they were looking for and what they were expecting was not going to happen. Something different was going to happen. Something new was going on. Verse 16 and 17, John is showing us to the entrance to God. That's what John was actually doing. Have you experienced living life and Jesus shows up and guides you through a situation? Have you ever been where you just can't figure it out and it's not working? And in a sense, Jesus shows up and everything takes place and it works and it fits. The question is, do you give God the glory? Or all of a sudden, I got this done. John was given God the glory. He was given Jesus the glory. John's focus points us to Jesus. That's what he was doing. Everything he was doing was focused towards Jesus. Letting Jesus change you and giving him complete control is him burning the chaff off of you. Remember, it talked about the winnowing fork, the vocation or calling of Jesus. I want to go back for just a second. Removing the chaff, burning the chaff off of you, it may be uncomfortable. It may not be the most pleasant experience, but it's very necessary. The vocation of Jesus. Jesus was baptized. Why? Have you ever wondered why Jesus was baptized? Why did he come to John and say, I need to be baptized? Knowing that the baptism was of repentance, John's baptism, as it's said in other places, is a baptism of repentance. It is a baptism of renewal and realignment with the purposes and the character of God. Jesus was already there, so why? Jesus never sinned, so why is he being baptized? From time to time, I've wondered. I know there's a reason and there's a purpose because it happened. Jesus was declaring that he, as the Son of Man, is one of us. Humanity. Humans get baptized. And he was showing that example. Jesus is immersed in humanity. For Jesus to be baptized into the human condition meant that he was immersed into the fatigue, boredom, and heartbreak that comes with it. For Jesus to participate in this death and in immersion form of baptism is likened to going underneath and a death. To participate in this death and rebirth was for him to declare himself part of the pathetic and beautiful story of humanity. He wasn't baptized just into water. He was baptized into us as a human. Luke 3 and verses 21 and 23, and I'll read those again. And now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. The heavens are opened. Similar phrasing to the description of the flood. The heavens being opened and torrents of rain coming down. The dove descends. This is an allusion to the dove returning to Noah after the flood with the olive branch in its mouth, showing him that the flood was receding and the promise was coming to be. I am well pleased. Luke echoes the Genesis account in which God says over and over that it is good, and he was well pleased with all he created. Genesis imagery, recreation, God is starting over again. It was still the plan. It wasn't a new plan. It was a necessary step in the plan. But he's starting it again with Jesus Christ coming into humanity. John lives only to introduce Jesus and then immediately goes to the sidelines. It wasn't about John, and he knew it. His focus was introducing Jesus Christ. Our vocation, our calling, our direction. Instead of status, we're given a purpose. Instead of solitary narcissism, he invites us to be a part of a family. We're not alone. We're not isolated. He is recreating, making all things new. And that includes the way we as human beings interact with each other and treat ourselves. When you grasp the love and the concept of family and the value of that, you interact with people much differently. You connect. and you treat each other as family, your calling. It is the meeting of your gladness and the world's deep hunger for Jesus. That's where we are. That's a part of what we're called to do, is be that connecting in that link of Jesus Christ living in us. Where is the extraordinary? He's calling to you today. And that's the beginning as we start in Epiphany, this Sunday of baptism of Jesus Christ. There's a reason he was baptized. He came into our human life. He experienced everything as we experience, and baptism is included. But his purpose, his calling, was to unite us, to be a family, to connect. Where is the extraordinary? Look around. It's everywhere around us. It's the people you see on the road as you drive. It's your neighbors. It's everyone in this room. And he's calling to us today to connect. You know, as we look at connecting points, so much of the time, he has given us everything we need, including the Lord's Supper that we're going to share here in a little bit with Jesus Christ. In his life, he gave everything. He gave his life that we might have life. And he has given us his body and his shed blood for us. Loving God, as we prepare to take part of this communion, Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the very body of Jesus Christ broken for us, for his blood that is reflected in the fruit of the vine shed for us. And God, it's not just an event that we look at and we say thank you and move on, but we are to remember what he has done, what Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. And with that, I do ask that you would bless this meal, that you would draw us ever closer to you, that we can connect with the extraordinary, with Jesus Christ. I praise you and I thank you in his name. Amen. As we go through this time, take a moment and reflect on what Jesus and how extraordinary he is to you. Come as you feel led. The table is set.
Lord, we thank you for our time together. Help us to be ready to see your hand in our lives, to listen to your voice as you lead and guide us in sharing you and your love with those we come in contact with. Amen. And from Colossians 3:16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him.